Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Thunderscan, June 1984. In August 1979, when I began working at Apple, my first task was to write low-level software for the Silentype, a cute, inexpensive thermal printer for the Apple II. The Silentype was based on technology licensed from a local company named Trendcom. But in typical Apple fashion, we improved the design by replacing their relatively expensive controller board with a much simpler one that relied on the microprocessor in the Apple II to do most of the dirty work. The only other engineer working on the project was Victor Bull, the hardware designer and project leader. Vic was smart, taciturn, and easy to work with, and I learned a lot from him about how thermal printers worked and how things worked at Apple. We quickly finished the project, and the Silentype shipped in November of 1979. 5 years later, during my leave of absence from Apple, I received a phone call from Victor Bull, whom I hadn't heard from in a couple of years. He had left Apple more than a year ago to work with his friend Tom Petrie at a tiny company based in Orinda named Thunderware. Together, they sold a single product called Thunderclock, an inexpensive calendar and clock card for the Apple II. Victor said that he thought that I might be interested in writing software for an exciting, clever new product that Thunderware was developing for the Macintosh, which he refused to describe over the phone. He invited me to visit them and have a look at it in person. In June, I drove up to Thunderware's office in Orinda, about an hour's drive from my house in Palo Alto. When I arrived at their modest headquarters, Vic introduced me to his partner, Tom Petrie, and I signed a non-disclosure agreement before being ushered into a back room to see their demo. The most popular printer for both the Apple II and the Macintosh was the ImageWriter, a $500 dot matrix printer designed and manufactured by a Japanese company named Seato Electronics and marketed by Apple. Virtually every Macintosh owner purchased an ImageWriter since it was the only printer supported by Apple. Tom's demo consisted of an ImageWriter connected to an Apple II that at first glance appeared to be busily printing away. But when I looked more closely, I noticed that instead of blank paper, there was a glossy photograph of a cat threaded through the printer's platen. The printer's black plastic ribbon cartridge was missing, replaced by a makeshift contraption containing an optical sensing device that trailed an umbilical cord back to the Apple II. Their potential new product, Thunderscan, was a low-cost way to temporarily turn an ImageWriter into a high-resolution scanner by replacing the ribbon cartridge with an optical sensor and writing some clever software. The scanner's resolution was determined by the precision of the printer's stepper motors, which had to be very accurate in order to print detailed graphics. Thunderscan, priced at under $200, had better resolution than flatbed scanners costing more than 10 times as much. I loved the ingeniousness of Thunderscan, the clever, WAS-like elegance of saving money and adding flexibility by doing everything in software. But there were also a few problems. The biggest caveat was that Thunderscan could only capture one scan line's worth of data on each pass of the printhead. Because the printhead could only deposit 9 dots at a time, scanning a page was 9 times slower than regular printing. This made for frustratingly slow scanning, often taking over an hour to scan a full page at the highest resolution. Thunderscan was never going to win any races. Also apparent was the disappointingly low quality of the scans captured by Tom Petrie's Apple II software. Tom and Vic said their scanner was capable of capturing up to 32 different levels of light intensity, but both the Apple II in high resolution mode and the Macintosh had just 1 bit per pixel to display, so the software had to simulate grayscales using patterns of black and white dots. It looked like Tom was using a simple threshold algorithm to do the rendering. The end result was that most of the grayscale information was thrown away, leaving behind an unacceptably blotchy image. It was hard to tell if the quality promised by Tom and Vic was there or not. Tom and Vic proposed to hire me to write Macintosh software for Thunderscan. I knew that a low-cost scanner would be a great product for the image-hungry Macintosh, but only if it had sufficient quality, and I wasn't convinced of that. I told them that I would think it over during the next few days. I became more excited about the potential of ThunderScan for the Macintosh, realizing that the slow speed wouldn't be a great impediment if the quality and resolution were high enough. The low image quality in Tom's prototype was probably caused more by the software than by anything inherent in the scanner. The Macintosh was nearly 10 times faster than the Apple II, so it should have been able to better sample the incoming data, yielding better horizontal resolution. Plus, I knew a much better algorithm for grayscale rendering that would be fun to put into practice. My friend and colleague Bill Atkinson was a talented photographer, and one of his hobbies was playing around with digitized pictures. He would periodically experiment to find the best algorithm for rendering his photographs. Bill loved to explain his current work to whoever would listen to him. So over the years, I learned a lot about rendering grayscale images simply by being around him. Bill had progressed from using an ordered dither algorithm, where varying threshold values are specified in a sliding matrix, to his current favorite, a modified version of what was known as the Floyd-Steinberg algorithm, where an error term is maintained and distributed proportionally to neighboring pixels. I called Thunderware and told them I was interested in working on Macintosh software for ThunderScan in exchange for a per-unit royalty. I drove back up to Arinda, where Tom and Vic gave me lots of documentation for their hardware and the sample code that Tom had written. For the next couple of months, I drove up to Arinda once a week, usually on Thursdays, to demonstrate my progress to Tom and Vic. We prioritized development issues and discussed complications as they arose. We also discussed business terms, but didn't sign a formal contract until the software was almost finished. We settled on a royalty of $7.50 per unit. Tom and Vic had already overcome a number of tough problems just to make the scanner work at all. For example, the ImageWriter printer was not really designed to be stepped one scan line at a time, and if you tried, the paper would bunch up against the platen and create distortion. Tom and Vic worked around this problem by commanding the printer to move three steps up and then two steps back, which held the paper snugly against the platen as required. There were also many techniques for sensing the beginning and end of a scan line. Through tedious experimentation, they also discovered how long it took the printer to respond to commands. It took about a week to get basic scanning working on the Macintosh, and then a few more days to render the grayscale data with Bill's modified Floyd-Steinberg dithering. After shaking out a variety of problems, mostly involving synchronization between the printer and software, I was both surprised and impressed by the consistent high quality of the results. I went through a brief, elated phase of scanning every image in sight that would fit through the printer just to see how it would turn out. One important decision that I made early on was to keep the grayscale data rather than discard it, which allowed for more flexible image processing. Although the Macintosh could only display 1-bit black-and-white images, ThunderScan documents were actually 5 bits per pixel. With this extra information, the user could manipulate the contrast and brightness of parts of the image, dodging and burning different areas to reveal more detail. This also paid off in later versions when we implemented grayscale printing for PostScript printers. My favorite feature had to do with two-dimensional scrolling. ThunderScan documents could be quite large, so you could only show a portion of them in the scanning window. You could scroll the image by dragging the picture around with a MacPaint-style hand tool, but you had to drag an awful lot to get to the extremes of a large image. I developed what I called inertial scrolling, where you gave the image a push, and it kept scrolling at a variable speed in the direction of the push after the mouse button was released. I had to add some hysteresis to keep the image from moving accidentally and make a few other adjustments, but soon I had it working. It felt great to be able to zip around large images by pushing them with the mouse. The hardest feature to perfect was bidirectional scanning. At first, ThunderScan only scanned from left to right, but returning the scanner to the left side of the page after every scan line wasted a lot of time. We could almost double the speed if we scanned in both directions, but it was hard to make adjacent scan lines line up properly. Ultimately, we made bidirectional scanning an option in case you wanted to trade a little quality for greater speed. I finished the software in November 1984 after taking a short break. Thunderscan shipped in December and did very well from the beginning. Sales gradually rose from around 1,000 units per month to over 7,500 units per month at our peak in 1987. For a while, Thunderscan was both the least expensive and highest quality scanning alternative for the Macintosh, although I'm sure it frustrated a lot of users by being too slow. I completed 3 major revisions of the software over the next few years, improving the scan quality and adding features like grayscale printing and eventually grayscale display for the Macintosh 2. Eventually, flatbed scanners caught up with and then surpassed Thunderscan in their cost, quality, and convenience. Over its lifetime, Thunderscan sold approximately 100,000 units and improved countless documents by providing users with an inexpensive way to capture high-resolution graphics with their Macintoshes.